This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I have a special guest tonight. I've got David Kay, the assistant vice president for communications. Did I get that title right, David?
No, I wish. It's assistant AD for communications. Okay. But that's close enough.
Assistant AD for communications. All right. So we're going to talk about Baylor's historic performance against TCU tonight. Just a complete, annihilation, I guess is the right word. 90-64. The Bears have put together two back-to-back performances that have to rank up there with some of the best performances that they've ever had. Considering the competition, you know, you're talking two top 30 teams, teams that are solidly in the NCAA field, and Baylor just destroyed TCU tonight. And obviously just an incredible performance by Mekhi Mason, 40 points, 14 for 20 from the field, 9 for 12 from three-point range. David, I know you've been watching Baylor basketball a long time. Have you seen anything like this given the competition, the level of competition?
No, and I'm going to have to go back to the record book and see. I can't imagine that Baylor has ever won consecutive Big 12 games by 25 points or more. And just the way they did it, I mean, at halftime, Baylor's up, I think, 13 in this game, or 11, actually. And you just kind of felt like TCU could get on a little run to start the second half, and Mekhi Mason scores the first 7 points on his own, and TCU just doesn't get close the rest of the way. And it's just been really impressive the way they haven't taken their foot off the gas at all, and have just played such good team basketball. And really, I think the last two games were quite different in that, you know, at OU, no one really stood out. Everyone just played solid. Mekhi was the leading scorer with 12 points, and then this one was just unbelievable. You just had to find a way to get him the ball, and credit Scott Drew for and the coaching staff for the way they were able to continue getting him open, even when TCU knew that's what Baylor was trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, some of those shots from three-point range were very deep. We're talking 4 or 5 feet behind the line. I mean, his range just – it's a tough guard because he can blow by you off the dribble. And, you know, right now he's playing as good as any point guard in the nation. I think it's safe to make that bold statement. And we'll see how far this takes us. I mean, another night where Baylor just dominated the glass. They out-rebounded TCU 40-26. They continue just to be a tremendous rebounding team. And, you know, like you said, I mean, you look up and down the stat sheet, you've got great contributions from guys like Matthew Meyer, Flo Thamba, Freddie Gillespie. I mean, man, how big has that guy been? He's able to finish in the paint now, and 5 for 6 from the field, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. It's just...
Yeah, I think he's an even better shot blocker than Tristan Clark.
Right.
And he's got a ridiculous wingspan, which I know is important to you. I believe it's about 7'9". And, and I watched him measure it in Kansas City last year. It is a legit 7'9". And he's been remarkable. And you said Matthew Meyer. I mean, his scoring numbers haven't been huge, but he's played so well during this run. And he's making all the right plays and playing under control. And that's why he's getting more minutes. You know, he had back-to-back games where he played 2 to 3 minutes. And kind of, I think, realize he's got to change the way he plays a little bit, play a little more under control. And, you know, he's going to develop into an incredible scorer, and he's got the ability to do it in any game. But he's a really good passer. I don't think our fans have really gotten a chance to see that until recently.
Right. You know what this team really reminds me of is, you know, I know we've been forced to play this way because of the injury to Tristan Clark. But, I mean, this really reminds me of Villanova, the way we're playing. And, you know, the volume of three-point shots we're getting up, the accuracy of the three-point shooting. I mean, 15 for 28 tonight. We're starting to play a lot like Villanova plays this year and a lot like Villanova played last year. Now, you know, obviously we got a long way to go before we can, you know, be in the same conversation for how they finished the year last year. But you know, you just have 4 or 5 guys that can make threes and can create off the dribble and are making good decisions with the basketball. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and it really is kind of a pick your poison because, you know, Oklahoma was a little more focused on Mekhi and they got burned by a few other guys tonight. It looked like TCU, you know, there were times they were focused on him and he still got his. But,
right.
We have four true guards playing right now who are all capable of having big nights. Devontae Bandu's been great lately. Obviously, you know what you're getting with Mekhi and Jared Butler just really coming into his own. And then King McClure, obviously, just steady. And what I love about King is, you know, if he's not scoring, it doesn't matter to him. He just wants to win, and he finds ways to make winning plays. He had 3 assists and 2 blocks tonight. And he's, you know, he is really physical So he's able to play that third guard spot where you need him to rebound a little bit more than you would when he's at the two. And it's just been a really good combination. And, you know, even with, I say four true guards, because we have a few guys like Kegler and Vital and Matt Meyer who you list as guard slash forward.
Right.
But they're all capable. And so it's really, you know, someone brought up in the postgame, we're basically starting five guys that we list as guards.
Right.
And, you know, that's just, it's kind of the evolution of college basketball. And I'll be really curious to see next year when Tristan's back, you know, how much of this remains, just because I think next year's team's going to be a little bit guard heavy. And it's been so effective. And look, there's a long way to go. The five toughest road games, according to the standings right now, are all still ahead of it.
Right.
Now, on the flip side of that, Kansas State at the top of the standings, you still get them at home, and then the rest of your home games are against teams that are lower in the standings.
Right.
But, you know, you look at Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor's not going to be expected to win any of those games on
the
road.
Right.
So these next three are really crucial to try to build some cushion. You've got at Texas on Wednesday and then home for Saturday and Monday against Kansas State and Oklahoma. And really need to get those because after that you go to Iowa State and I believe to Texas Tech, and it's just, you know, it gets really tough then.
Yeah, you know, and you may vehemently disagree with this, but I actually think the Texas game is going to be a more difficult task than winning at Texas Tech. I think Texas has more talent. They're a more balanced basketball team. They're playing really good defense. And obviously we've seen them keep every game close. I mean, they've been in the hunt in every single game this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, their record doesn't really bear, you know, how good of a team they are. And, you know, obviously they had the big win against Kansas and then, you know, almost beat Iowa State today. But, you know, and I think Texas Tech has some limitations offensively that are starting to show up. But that's just my opinion. You know, I know that the KenPom and some of the advanced stats would still say that Texas Tech's going to be a tougher game. You know, another couple other things in the stat sheet. Oh, go ahead, David.
Well, I mean, obviously a lot of it's matchups. You know, Texas has Jackson Hayes, who is significantly larger than Mark Vidal, who's going to start at the five for Baylor. But, you know, one thing you have to give this staff credit for, they're starting Vital at the five, but they are very quick to change that when they need to. You know, Vital only played 23 minutes tonight because Freddie and Flo were just so good at the five. And
right.
that's been maybe a really unsung part of this run is those two, because their numbers don't really pop out at you. But man, they've been so good in the paint, and just they provide that shot blocking that you were really missing when Tristan Clark went down. And it just changes the whole game. And, you know, Flo, his numbers are just insane. If you look at the plus minus the last two games, I pulled that up for just a second, but it's Jerry Hill wrote a good feature on those two, and it's on BaylorBears.com. It ran last night. I would highly recommend checking it out because it's really been a two-headed monster with those two, and they just have found ways to get it done. Okay, I got it here now. Flo was plus 17 in 13 minutes tonight.
Wow.
And at Oklahoma, Flo was plus 16 in 10 minutes.
Wow. Yeah,
so,
no,
those are just incredible numbers.
You know, I have a saying that wingspan matters, and those two have definitely shown that to be the case. I mean, and look at their production. I mean, they had 13 points between them, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks, 1 turnover, and let's see, 4 assists. I mean, that's just... If you said that you were getting that kind of production from the center position, and they're not starting, I mean that's just unbelievable production coming off the bench, like you said. So I'm looking forward to
it. From a walk on and a true freshman,
right?
I mean,
right,
and not a super highly recruited true freshman. I mean, obviously there was some competition there, but it's not like he's a top 100 kid,
right?
He's, you know, he's a little bit developmental, and he's really really growing. And Scott said this the other day, and really I think it was accurate that people don't realize how slow of a start this team got off to just because they didn't have everyone at the start of the year. You know, Makai was hurt.
Yep.
Mario was coming off knee surgery. Jared Butler didn't even get here until August. So I think that's part of why he's starting to play so well too. But, you know, teams get better in the summer when they're playing together, and Baylor didn't have that at all.
Right.
And you only return three-letter winners to begin with. So,
yeah,
you know, Jake Lindsey goes down for the year. It's just remarkable, and I think it explains a little bit and gives – if you want to be on the side of that this team really is as good as they're playing right now, then that's why. It's because they've had enough time to really play together, and they really turned a corner after that. I believe it was Kansas, and then played on Monday. It all runs together now. But had 3 days of practice right after that, went to Oklahoma State and won, and then had 3 days of practice before the Texas Tech game, and I think right. that's where it really came together for these guys.
No, you bring up a great point. And, you know, in addition to that, Matthew Meyer missed a lot of the summer with some injuries. And then mm-hmm. Devontae Bandu came late. He was summer two, I think. So, yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, the chemistry just wasn't there, you know, because you had so many missing pieces. And, I mean, you're right on the money. Really, really, Darius Allen was the one newcomer that was there the whole summer, you know, playing, and he doesn't even, you know, get many minutes right now. So it's exciting to watch. I mean, it's beautiful basketball, and I think, you know, all of the basketball purists are, you know, are texting me like crazy, and, you know, just saying this is like nothing I've ever seen. It's really fun and unexpected, but, you know, we continue just to make rapid ascents up the advanced stats. I think we talked about this on the message boards, but, you know, KenPom, we were 157 in offensive efficiency after that Oregon game, and now we're all the way up to 29. You know, so it's, I mean, we've come to expect those kind of numbers from Scott Drew teams to be in the top 25 in offensive efficiency, and it looks like we're trending towards that. And then the Big 12 alone, I mean, our numbers are ridiculous. You know, offensive efficiency, 115.4. I mean, that's crazy how good that is, you know, given the level of competition we're playing. And then offensive rebounding, number one in the conference, and offensive rebounding percentage, number one in three-point percentage at over 40%. I mean, our numbers since conference play are just, you know, outrageously good offensively.
Well, and I think it's a little bit misleading when people see that we're hitting 40% of threes in Big 12 play and think, okay, well, that's not sustainable. That's why they're winning all these games. But there have been games where Baylor shot below 30%. At West Virginia was below 30.
Right.
I believe Alabama might have been. I can't remember. There was one other game in there that was below 30, and
right.
they find other ways to win.
Right.
So it's the offensive efficiency has been incredible. I know it's been a discussion in the past about tempo, and the tempo really hasn't been significantly higher. I mean, you had 75 possessions in the West Virginia game. But that was West Virginia.
Right.
That was different second half. Every other one has been 67 or fewer, which, you know, is a little bit probably more than what the average was before that, but maybe by one or two. I mean, it's not significantly different. It's just been really, really efficient offense.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when you rebound as well as we do, keep extra possessions alive, and then, you know, on top of that, just the shooting numbers are continuing to improve. And you know, you bring up a point. We're doing this without really going to the free throw line that much. You know, tonight we only took eight free throws, but just didn't matter. You know, we still had, you know, just a crazy, you know, see, the points per possession tonight were 1.45. That's nuts. That's nuts.
Yeah, you're going to win every game with that. And this team plays really, really good defense too.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's something you could see, you could look back even at the two Big 12 losses and just see that they never quit.
Right.
And they play so hard all the time. And I think that's why this should be a team that's really endearing to Baylor fans, is because of how hard they play. I mean, look at the loss to Kansas, down 23, cut it to 5 in the last minute, down 19 at TCU, end up losing by 4. You know, and these guys, they just continue to fight. And I really think that that comeback against Kansas is where this team turned the corner.
Yeah.
They saw what they're capable of. And it's been incredible to watch. I mean, you keep waiting and hopefully it just never happens, but you keep waiting for there to be a game that just doesn't click. And it hasn't happened yet. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully we can win the first Big 12 title in program history.
Man, that would be great. And, you know, I've said this before, but it bears repeating. It's statistically impossible to win 25 games in a row unless you win 7 in a row. And so we've won 6 in a row. So the next up is Texas. Now, Texas is a team that's always really struggled under Shaka Smart with Baylor's version of the zone. You know, now this year may be different. I think they're getting better play from their guards. Their guards are a little older. You know, Roach and Coleman are a lot more efficient than they've been in the past. But that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Does Texas figure out the zone? Are we able to stifle them defensively like we have done in the past? You know, Scott Drew's 7-1 against Shaka Smart. So, and I think he's won 7 in a row, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so I'm sure that they're circling that game, and they're really going to – we're going to get their best shot. But, you know, it's a weeknight game. Their crowds have not been great. during the week. So, you know, hopefully it's not a crazy atmosphere. And it's, you know, if we can get off to a good start like we did against OU and against West Virginia, you know, hopefully we can take the air out of the gym and get some good things done Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough one for sure. And it'll be interesting to see how the zone does. But one thing that's really encouraging about this team is they've actually had a lot of success playing man this year, too. And recently it's been more zone than earlier in the year. But if you look at the KenPom defensive fingerprint, he says mostly man. And I think that's accurate. I think there have been more possessions of man this year than zone. And obviously, there have been some games where all you see is zone because it's so effective. But the coaches are going to throw both of them at the other team and see what works, and they're going to stick with it. And they do a lot of mixing and matching, too. They'll do makes and misses where, you know, you make a shot on the offensive end, you come back in the zone, whereas if you miss it, you're manning up.
No doubt. Well, hey, so the conference standings are still – there's four teams at the top with six wins each. But Baylor and Kansas State only have two losses apiece, and Iowa State and Kansas are 6-3. Texas Tech is right behind them at 5-4. So, you know, still very much in a hunt for a Big 12 title. And, you know, I do think, like you mentioned earlier, winning at Texas is probably a game that you're going to win a Big 12 title. And then and you're going to have to protect home court. You know, if you're able to protect home court the rest of the way and win at Texas – I think we're in really good shape.
I can get a 12.
Yes. And I think 12 wins is going to share a title this year. Would you agree with that?
That's certainly possible. You know, I feel like that kind of every year, I think it won't take as many as it ends up taking. So I'm hesitant to say 12 is going to be enough because, I mean, Kansas State would have to go 6-4 the rest of the way to only end up with 12. Same with Baylor. But just looking at the remaining road schedule, there's some just brutal games in there. And believe me, if any team can win at Kansas, this one can.
Right.
And it hasn't happened yet, but this would be a great time to do it for the first time. And what an incredible storybook that would be if this team was going down Fieldhouse the last game of the year with a chance to end the streak and got it done.
Right.
That's the kind of thing you write a book about.
No question. Yeah, so Kansas hosts Kansas State this week. Or no, I'm sorry, Kansas State has them at home. But Kansas State has to play Kansas twice still. They go to Texas. They have to play Baylor twice. They have to go to TCU.
West Virginia still, which, right. I mean, even the bottom teams in the league, like West Virginia has a home win against Kansas.
Yeah.
So you just can't, I mean, and they won today.
Without Bolden.
Without
Bolden, yep.
That's a tough matchup. And honestly, like, every game that during this little run, you know, with all these Monday games, you go into it and go, gosh, it could really catch up with us here. Because road games in the Big 12 are just brutal.
Right.
I mean, Baylor has the second best road winning percentage in the Big 12 the last 8 years, and it's still one game below 500.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to win on the road, and that's where you really have to protect home court. And I really want to encourage anyone who can. You know, obviously we're looking at the game at Texas, but for the fans looking at the game on Saturday against Kansas State and then the following Monday against Oklahoma, those are just absolutely huge for this season.
Yeah.
So whatever fan support we can get, it was a great crowd tonight, great crowd against Alabama. Just really need to keep that going.
Yeah, there's no question. And I agree with you. I think the energy in the Ferrell, although the arena hasn't been full like it should be, but the energy's been really good. Well, any parting thoughts?
Well, and I always want to be careful because I think – you don't want to complain about the attendance because the people who hear that are the people who are actually here.
Right.
And, you know, not griping at anyone like that. We appreciate all the fans who come. And to me, it's more about how they impact the game and how loud they are. And I think the crowds have been phenomenal. And you couldn't really tell without looking up that it wasn't a full house.
Right.
I can tell you that the players appreciate it. There's nothing worse than when you come out in a midweek game, come out to do warm-ups, and it's just dead in there.
Right.
And it's hard. You know, you would think we can all sit here and say you should be able to get up for a game like that. You've played a college basketball game, but it's just natural. It's hard to get up when it's you're playing in a dead atmosphere. And they haven't had to do that. It's been a great, great crowd. And I think the fans really appreciate how hard this team plays, even when things aren't going their way. So, just really need to keep going. Really appreciate it, though.
Yeah, and I think we've been the beneficiary of some of those weak crowds on the road. You know, that I was surprised at how dead that Oklahoma atmosphere was when we played them. You know, and it just seemed like an arena that was one of, you know, just a poorly attended game by their fan base. And And of course, you know, we didn't give much to cheer about, you know, because Baylor just jumped all over Oklahoma early. But like what you're saying is right on. I mean, I remember last year we had a big game against Kansas State at home. It was, I think, a Monday night, or, you know, certainly a weeknight game, and the atmosphere was pretty dead, and we got off to a terrible start as a result. So we really need to avoid that, and this team deserves a good, energetic crowd. You know, we're getting them on weekends. We got a lot of Saturday games, which really helps. But, you know, the challenge will be to try to get those students there Monday night and get a lot of people there for that Monday night game against Oklahoma, because it's an 8 o'clock tip. Yep.
And two of the next three are Saturday home games. So I have no doubt those are going to be great crowds. I'm a little worried about that Monday against Oklahoma, just because, look, we get it, okay? It's hard to get to a game on a Monday night, especially if you live out of town, and there's lots of reasons not to come. It's you know, there's a trade-off. We get paid pretty well by the TV networks to televise these games, but because of that, it's a high-quality production, and it's easy for fans to stay home. But we really need the fans to come and support us and fill this place and just make it a loud atmosphere, because that actually makes an impact in whether you can win the game or not. And, you know, don't begrudge anyone. Totally understand. Just hope you can make it to as many games as you can and you know, appreciate whatever support you can provide. And if you can't make it and you have season tickets, you know, please find someone to give them to. Because we just need people here cheering us on. And it's been you could just see what a difference it made for the guys. You know, I mean, TCU never had a chance to make a run today. They had some fans here, but you never heard them.
Right.
And it was really because they didn't get anything to cheer about, because this team just kept going nonstop.
Yeah, we had some. I don't want to call them out because they're good folks, but I will call them out anyway. We had some TCU fans that were right in front of me that may or may not be the son of a prominent restaurant owner in Waco that does a lot of catering. And let's just say
I don't know anything about that.
Let's just say they left early. They didn't stay for the full game. They had enough after. He's a TCU grad, good guy, you know, so we were giving him a hard time, but he was a good sport about it. But, yeah, I mean,
that beats the heck out of hearing Rock Chalk Jayhawk at the end of a game. if you can send him home early, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah, no question. Well, David, you're the best. I appreciate you doing this late at night on Sikkim 365. And, again, this has been a wrap-up of Baylor's complete domination over TCU, the worst loss in Jamie Dixon's career as a coach. 90-64, the Bears destroyed TCU today, and they are now 6-2 in the conference, 15-6 overall. Big game at Texas Wednesday night. Sikkim Bears.
Sikkim Bears, thanks.
All right.